Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to take that stack of source material, the articles and analyst reports you send us, and really distill it down to the surprising truth you need to know. And today, we are tackling a fundamental shift in how money moves in the United States.
It's a big one.
It is. Okay, so let's unpack this. The U.S. Federal Reserve is considering steps to completely get rid of written financial instruments. Think paper checks, money orders.
Anything with, you know, physical permanence.
Right. Yeah. All of it. In favor of moving the entire system to electronic everything. And on the surface, that sounds like pure common sense progress. It's faster, it's cheaper, more convenient.
Of course.
But our mission today is to really dig in and understand the cost of that convenience. I mean, what happens when we remove the last physical fallback?
That is the core question. And the source material we're looking at is deeply skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
It basically argues that while the digital shift is convenient, absolutely, it comes at the price of systemic risk aggregation and, maybe more importantly, a loss of recourse for the individual.
Okay, so we're moving from a distributed system to a centralized one.
Exactly. And that changes the fundamental nature of failure.
Let's start right there, then, with the nature of failure. The report calls it the problem of brittleness.
Mm-hmm.
It sets up this really stark contrast between how physical and digital systems rely on each other right now.
Yeah, think about this scenario. It's straight from the analyst report.
Mm-hmm.
You're at home. There's a massive power outage. Maybe the internet's down, a solar flare, whatever.
Right, the grid is out.
The grid is out. No electricity. You can still grab a physical check, a pen, write on it, put a stamp on an envelope, and pay your taxes or pay a vendor.
That check exists. That payment process, it still functions. Just slower.
And that's the beautiful resilience of distribution.
Mm-hmm.
The physical world is, you know, inherently distributed. If one post office closes or one bank loses power, the others still work, the system adapts.
Because the parts are independent.
Exactly. But in a fully digital world, what happens when the system is down? Or the browser fails? Or, and this is the most common one they cite, you just lose the password to your account.
You're just frozen.
You're frozen. The source calls this risk aggregation. By going totally paperless, we're centralizing all the uncertainty. We're piling all the consequences onto fewer and fewer systems, which makes the whole structure incredibly brittle.
When you say risk aggregation, is this like putting all our eggs into one giant national basket? I mean, doesn't modern system design build in redundancy for this?
Redundancy helps, sure, but it's not a complete replacement for fundamental distribution.
Right.
I mean, look at the physical banking system. If one check processing center goes down, the checks still exist.
Right.
They can be processed somewhere else. It might be slower, but they keep their integrity. In the cyber world, the failure is often immediate and total, right across the whole system.
Wow.
And the report emphasizes this with a really profound detail. A failure doesn't have to be some massive hack. Sometimes a single bit flip.
A bit flip.
Yeah, an unintended change in a single digital memory location. It could be caused by cosmic rays, a tiny hardware flaw, whatever. And that one tiny thing can and has caused catastrophic failures in critical national infrastructure.
So we're accepting that level of systemic brittleness by choice.
We are, especially when we eliminate every single physical alternative.
Okay, so that shifts the risk entirely. If the system is brittle and we have no physical fallback, let's look at what that loss of physical permanence means for you, the person who needs to prove you did the right thing. This is the proof problem.
This is huge.
Paper is evidence. It's a record that you physically possess, and it can't be changed by the other party after the fact. The analyst tells this story, a recent experience.
Yeah, I saw that.
They deposited a check, and the bank's electronic system scans it, and somehow changes the dollar value during the transaction.
Just changes it.
Yeah. The paper was correct, but the digital record was wrong.
And so the question becomes, what's your recourse?
Mm-hmm.
What can you do? The analyst found that without having that original piece of paper, the bank's electronic record, the one that said they owed less money, it just prevailed. The bank won.
That's insane. The takeaway is chilling. In a fully digital dispute, the institution that controls the data always wins.
Always.
So now if I deposit a check, I have to take a picture of it myself just in case I need to dispute the bank's own record. That's
wild.
It leads right into what the analyst calls integrity issues in digital diplomatics.
Okay, that sounds incredibly technical. Can we break that down?
Absolutely. Diplomatics is just the legal study of records, you know, analyzing if they're authentic, if they have integrity.
Got it.
When we go fully digital, we hit a massive problem. Say you have an electronic receipt that disputes what the bank claims. In the digital world, that inconsistency can prove the bank's record is wrong, but your electronic receipt can't definitively prove that your record is right.
So it's a he said, she said.
It's a he said, she said with ones and zeros that anyone can change. But surely there are consumer protection laws for this, to protect people, even if the bank controls the data.
They exist, but they're really hard to enforce when the evidence is so flimsy.
Mm-hmm.
The legal context is that business and government records are, you know, presumed to be reliable and authentic.
The default is that they're right.
So challenging them is already tough. If all you can do is show the bank's record might be wrong, but you can't prove your electronic trace is definitively correct, you lose. You haven't met the burden of proof.
Because the system is set up to favor the powerful entity that controls the infrastructure.
Exactly.
So we have a brittle, centralized system, a massive power imbalance. Now let's look at the operational side. How often do these high-stakes digital systems just, well, screw up?
Mm.
There's that old saying for a reason. To err is human, but to really foul things up, it takes a computer. I mean, the track record of online systems staying perfectly functional, perfectly accurate, it's terrible.
It is terrible.
Yeah.
And it gets worse because of two digital characteristics, speed and scope. When a computer makes a mistake, it doesn't stay small.
It propagates.
It propagates, and it expands fast. It leads to millions, maybe billions of next steps that are also screwed up. It's an exponential failure because everything is so integrated.
And the source material says this is getting worse.
Getting worse quickly, yeah. With the introduction of AI-generated code, it's being deployed faster than we can audit it.
Mm-hmm.
The analyst even included this satirical note from a conversation with an AI, Claude, joking that bugs now meet every Tuesday to discuss their feelings.
Huh, it's good.
It's funny, but it underscores a very real problem. We're building systemic, complex, self-propagating errors into the very foundation of this new digital world.
And those errors often hit hardest around deadlines. In finance and law, missing a deadline is, you know, brutally punished.
Absolutely. And this is where that physical fallback provides certainty.
Hmm.
A receipt from the USPS, an envelope postmark, those are legally valid government-authenticated records of what happened and when.
The physical world has a legally accepted timeline.
It does. Computers, on the other hand, are notoriously unreliable about dates and times. They can be wrong, they can be subverted, their clocks might not be synchronized. When certainty is mandatory, paper wins. It just does.
Certainty trumps convenience when thousands of dollars are on the line. That makes perfect sense. Okay, let's pivot to security. This is an angle that's often used to promote digital systems, but the analyst argues it's actually a massive weak point.
It is. It comes down to an identity crisis, a lack of what the report calls proper attribution infrastructure.
Attribution infrastructure. What exactly does that mean here?
It just means the system can't robustly prove who physically is doing the action. I mean, when you move money today, things can be done in your name with just a user ID, a password, and a third factor that can all be phished.
Right.
There's no good way to differentiate the physical reality of who is at the keyboard from a criminal acting remotely.
And this is where we see huge financial losses.
Huge. The FBI tracks tens of billions of dollars lost every year because of this. We are literally betting our national infrastructure on a system where identity theft is rampant.
But wait, haven't things improved? I mean, surely modern systems have protocols to ensure integrity, to make sure a transaction can't be modified after the fact.
You'd think so, but not adequately for the masses, according to this report. Modern systems largely lack these integrity provisions. Yes, things like blockchain exist, distributed ledgers that make corruption really hard to hide.
Right, I've heard of that.
But that technology is not widely deployed across the vast infrastructure that you and I use every day. The standard financial networks are still highly centralized, and that makes them vulnerable to internal data modification.
That's concerning. Okay, and speaking of internal dynamics, the analyst makes a powerful psychological point that speed is not always good.
Exactly. Online systems are designed to smooth the path to spending. They're optimized for speed, for button-click everything. It makes it far easier to cross that threshold to pay or commit to something.
But isn't that just good user experience? If I want to pay quickly, why would a system try to stop me?
Because for big, complicated transactions, procrastination can be really valuable. Paper creates friction. You have to find the checkbook, write it out, sign it, find an envelope.
It gives you time to mull it over.
It does. The online version, it punishes hesitation. You get timed out. It rewards you for clicking yes quickly without maybe thinking through the consequences. It changes the whole dynamic of financial decision making.
And connecting this to the bigger picture, to power, The analyst argues this whole shift is really a value transfer.
A massive one.
So who pays for the system and who benefits?
The report is very pointed here. Going paperless is sold as a public good, but the masses will pay for it through transaction fees, data monetization, and just taking on all this aggregated risk themselves.
And the money to run it all.
The money to run and control it flows to a very small number of wealthy individuals and large companies. It raises this uncomfortable question. Is the real goal here concentrated financial gain?
The benefits go to a few while the risk is pushed onto everyone else.
A classic value transfer to what the report somewhat provocatively calls the oligarchs who own the digital plumbing.
That's a strong claim. It definitely challenges the common good narrative. Okay, let's wrap up with the most severe risk of all. Intentional disruption with no fallback, the malicious actor. The source is insistent on this point. You cannot reasonably claim that a sophisticated nation-state actor or a terrorist group who wants to screw up a country by launching a massive cyber attack.
Yeah.
You can't claim they don't exist.
They're out there.
Yeah.
And they're constantly testing the system. A fully digital centralized system makes this kind of catastrophic attack feasible and more likely. If you sever that digital connection and there's no paper counterpart,
the whole financial system just halts simultaneously.
There's no quick way to recover because the backup process paper has been deliberately eliminated.
And there's history here. The idea of a paperless office has been tried for 60 years.
Yeah. Since the 1960s, yeah. And it's never fully worked. We still rely on paper for notes, for checklists, and crucially, for legal notices.
Which brings up legal notice requirements. Most people, let's be honest, do not read most contracts, even for a mortgage.
Of course not. They're monstrous bodies of text online, full of hyperlinks, and you only possess them virtually. A physical document, something you possess, gives you the time you need to actually read and digest the terms. It creates a relationship with the contract that just scrolling online can't replicate.
So what does this all mean? The source is pretty open that the goal here is to throw some fear, uncertainty, and doubt, some FUD into the mix?
Some necessary FUD, yeah. The goal isn't to stop progress, but to make sure we're aware of the aggregated risk we're taking on.
So it's about comparing the relative utility of the new system versus the old.
Exactly. The analyst says they always get asked about the danger of robotic cars. The response is to ask about the accident rate for robot cars versus human-driven cars. We have to measure the new risk against the old risk, not just assume the new risk is zero.
Right. Demand a relative measure of utility and safety. So this deep dive, it acknowledges the speed and convenience of the digital world, but it's also a call for critical assessment. The source says to avoid the lemmings to the sea mentality.
Right. Just because everyone is rushing toward digital doesn't mean you should ignore the cliffs they might be rushing toward.
The analyst ends the report with a great line. They say they'll stick to their paper copies, and you'll only get them if you pry them from my cold, dead hands.
Unless you offer me a discount.
Right.
So the challenge for you, the listener, is this. If you accept all this digital convenience, what's the single, non-negotiable physical record or fallback you will insist on keeping? That original contract, that physical receipt, that checkbook. What will you keep to make sure you have recourse when the centralized system inevitably messes up?
Now you're informed. You know the cost of total convenience.
And you are on notice.